All right? All right, very good. And in this way, they lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. There it is. So for us as Christians, no matter what scale of wealth or poverty we may find, where we find ourselves on this scale that we'll compare ourselves with others and on it goes, you and I have a life that can be truly blessed, a true life. And so we want to be able to do that. Number three, here's another bad aspect of greed. Greed disqualifies us from eternal life. Greed disqualifies us from eternal life. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9, it says, "Don't you know that wrongdoers won't inherit the kingdom of God? Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters or adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And so when we're greedy, what we're doing is we are contesting the will of God. Now think about, I've heard some pretty humorous stories where people who are making their will to pass on assets down to the next generation, they've got it all laid out, and there's a new way of preventing anyone from, any member of the family from contesting the will. And I love this, because there'll be a clause in the will that says, if you contest this will, you will receive $1. Isn't that great? So that's a shot across the bow and a warning that if you contest the will, you are not going to receive the inheritance. Same thing with God. If you contest the will of God by being greedy in your life, you will not receive the inheritance. So those are the bad things about greed. But in closing, let me just share a couple of things. There's two reasons and two ways to be generous. Two reasons and two ways to be generous, and that is this. So we can come out of the greed trap, and we can have God work this out of our hearts. Let me explain two reasons why we should be generous, and then two ways to be generous. Number one reason to be generous, God has given us valuable resources. You and I were born into a world that is set up for us to be wealthy. Now, it may not be as wealthy as you think you ought to be, but you and I didn't enter into a world with nothing. All right, we came in with nothing, we leave with nothing, but when we're in, we have things. We have resources that support us. This week I was reading about a fascinating story. Did y'all know one of the most important, we all know, July 7th, 1776, an important day that went down in American history, the Revolution. There's another really important day that goes down in America's history, and that's June 10th, 1901. Does anybody here know what happened on June 10th, 1901? All right, let me add to it. Do you know what happened on June 10th, 1901 that involved the Hamill brothers in East Texas? What was it? Somebody said it. Struck oil. That's right. At Spindletop. Do y'all know the story? You remember the story now? The Hamill brothers had this wooden derrick that was built. Some investors had put some venture capital together. They had had trouble drilling oil in East Texas because the ground was so sandy. And then they came up with this new technology in which they used mud to form the wall so the sand wouldn't continue to crater and create trouble with the drilling. And the Hamill brothers are drilling, and they've drilled all the way down to 1,100 feet, and they still hadn't struck oil. And they only had 100 feet left that they could possibly go. Morale was down. They were feeling defeated. But they continued to drill on until all of a sudden they started feeling and hearing the rumble of black, y'all know what it's called in Texas, black gold, Texas tea. It comes bursting up through the derrick. They say it shot 200 feet high in the sky. The Hamill brothers had expected and had hoped to get 50 barrels a day of crude oil from this well. They got 80,000 barrels of oil a day from this well. America overnight went from being a producer of oil to the leading producer of oil in the world. And the guys that were the venture capitalists went from losing money to making over $40 million in one night. Isn't that incredible? Now, who stuck that there in the ground? Well, we could debate all of that. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything that is in it. You know, if you read in Genesis chapter 2, it's really strange. It talks about the four rivers that came from the Garden of Eden. And the first one is the Pihon. And it mentions gold being there in Genesis chapter 2. Mentions gold. Just an interesting, it's almost like it doesn't fit the story. It's like, why is that there? And of course, you know, Genesis tells us that God made us in his image so that we could manage and be stewards of his resources. And one of the resources he stuck in the ground was gold. Do you all know that gold is not in any significant amount found in Palestine? And yet Israel became the wealthiest nation on the face of the earth. As a matter of fact, Solomon had more gold than probably any other nation during his time. There was no gold to be found. How do you end up with so much excessive gold in the world? Solomon got 666 talents of gold. A talent of gold is 75 pounds. So I sat down and I figured that out. He got over $1 billion a year from the gold, 666 talents of gold that was shipped in to Israel every year. If he is importing all of this gold, what is he exporting? Do any of you know what Solomon exports? Wisdom. Wisdom. Why did the Queen of Sheba come to see Solomon? She came to hear and learn of his wisdom. Agriculture wisdom, animal science wisdom, mechanical wisdom, wisdom for how to run governments efficiently and effectively. Wisdom goes to the nations and wealth comes in. And let me ask you one more question. Where does wisdom come from for Solomon? Do you know in the book of Proverbs and Psalms, you know what's more valuable than gold? Proverbs chapter 3 says wisdom is. Psalm 19, you know what's more valuable than gold? Knowledge of the Lord's word, his precepts is more valuable than gold. 1 Peter, I believe it's chapter 3, chapter 1, verse 7. What's more valuable than gold? One's faith. Looky there, church. Not only has God just given us, how valuable is water? How valuable is crushed rock and stone, and how valuable is grass, and how valuable, I mean, you just think about over and over all the resources God has given us. What is this telling us? That our God is amazingly generous. So God is generous, and then number two, God gives us the ability to create wealth. Let me put this one more text up and we'll wrap it up. God gives us the ability to create wealth. It was the text that was read here just a few moments ago. He says, one of the dangers when Israel came into the land of promise is they would experience so much prosperity, they would be lulled into the idea that they earned it and they produced it without acknowledging that it came from God. And they would repeat the same mistake of Adam and Eve. It says, you may say to yourself, my power and my strength and my hands have produced this wealth for me. Go to the next slide. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is to this day. And so, you know, God gives us the means of creating wealth. Think about all the resources. But he also gives us the mind and the motivation. You and I are so blessed. And so let me end with this. So there's two reasons for being generous, and I want to talk about two ways for being generous, and it's very simple. Planned generosity and spontaneous generosity. God teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 2, on the first day of the week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. I don't know what the percentage is that you give, to the Lord's work. But I do know that we're called to give a percentage and to be thoughtful about that. You may be giving 1% right now. And I thank God for the 1% that you give. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly what percentage we're supposed to give in the New Testament. There's no command. There's the principle of tithing that we see in the Old Testament. And there's the law of tithing after the Mount Sinai when God gives the law of to Moses. But prior to that, you had the example of tithing through Abraham. So we know that tithing is a wonderful godly principle. And it's a great goal to achieve, to get to, and even exceed in our giving beyond a 10%. Tithe. But whatever percentage you're at, be mindful of that and then try each year of your life to work it up to another percent point. See if you can get to 5 or 6% or 7 or 8%. But whatever it is, it's something between you and God that you've set aside, you've planned, you've prepared for. Be a percentage giver in your giving. And know this, that 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, right? And if you're a greedy person, being a cheerful giver is not going to happen the first time. I promise. It ain't going to happen, all right? But here's what you and I have to do. We don't always feel like doing the right thing, do we, church? But what if we do the right thing, trusting God? We might discover that in this situation, as we give, we're struggling with our personal greed, but as we give, we may find cheerfulness coming into our lives. Are y'all following me? That you will experience the joy of what it feels like to give. Trust God in these efforts. So be a percentage giver, but also be a spontaneous giver. You know, look for the needs of others and meet those needs if you're able. How hard is that? You see a brother who has needs or a sister who has needs. If you can meet that need, meet the need. This honors the Lord. And it is a participation in being godly as in the nature of God. So as we think about the question, why do I have so much? Is it so I can accumulate and possess and hoard more? Or is it so that God has prepared me to be rich towards him through my generosity? So church family, two or one, what will it be? May God bless you as you work towards being generous for him. If we can serve any of this morning through prayer, if you need encouragement, maybe you'd like to confess Christ as Lord and be buried in baptism, experience the generous gift of salvation of God, we invite you forward while we stand and as we